The Albany Symphony returns to Proctor's Theater in Schenectady to perform Britain's moving War Requiem with Albany Pro Musica. The piece is being performed to commemorate the Armistice Centennial and hear this monumental work performed in the Capital Region for the first time in over 40 years. Sunday, November 11th, 2018 marks the end of World War I. The ASO's performance is on Saturday night at 7:30. Leading up to the performance of Britain's War Requiem, audiences can explore the war to end all wars through films, lectures, and performances presented in collaboration with the musicians of Malwick, Proctor, Schenectady County Historical Society, Discover Schenectady, and the New York State Museum. Armistice Centennial events started on October 16th. They're running through Veterans Day this weekend. We are joined now by Albany Symphony conductor and maestro David Allen Miller, Met opera soprano and Capital Region native Emily Savoy, and violinist and director of Musicians of Malwick, Anne Marie Barker Schwartz. Hello, how are you all?
Hello, Joe. We're so happy to be here. Thanks for having us.
We're thrilled.
We're thrilled to have you. So you were just in rehearsal moments ago.
I actually was. I was over at Proctor's literally 25 minutes ago working with Emily because our first big rehearsals are this afternoon and evening, and she's just flown in from Charlotte, where she currently mainly lives, although she lives mainly out of a suitcase, I think. And she was so charming and has done the piece before and is this, as you said, native of our region, of whom we're very proud because she's gone on to sing at the Met and all over Europe and is just an incredible artist. And this is the first time she will have sung with the Albany Symphony, so we're really excited to feature her on this very important weekend.
Okay, so it is an important weekend. How did you decide? I guess what I'm most interested in, however you want to get there and telling the story is up to you. But as the guy who gets asked the question, let me put it this way, which is I'm fascinated as to what led you to the work, but I'm also fascinated to this idea of why, or the reason as to why it hasn't been performed in this region for so long.
Well, I'll answer your second question first because I think it may be easier to answer. It's a really big piece from a pure mechanics perspective. It has not one but two orchestras, which I think discourages a lot of conductors from doing it because you can barely pull together one orchestra. It's got a big orchestra that sings with the big full chorus. Albany Pro Musica will be with us singing. And then there's also this wonderful 12-member chamber orchestra, which sings with the two gentlemen soloists. There are three soloists. Emily sings the soprano part, and there's a tenor and a baritone. So the chamber orchestra performs through the piece, sort of interstitched with the big choral requiem mass. So we've got two orchestras, two choruses, because there's a big chorus and a children's chorus, three solo artists, huge orchestra. It's a really big undertaking and logistically very challenging. So I think that's the reason it's not heard more frequently, because it is really one of the most performed and most acclaimed 20th century choral masterwork. It is the greatest 20th century requiem mass, a mass for the dead. And the reason we came to it, it really started with the armistice and the fact that we knew about a year and a half ago when we were planning our season that this weekend, November 11th, in fact, was the centennial of the armistice, the 100th anniversary of the technically the end of World War I, and we wanted to do something to honor that very important milestone and to honor our veterans and to honor all of those who've given their lives and have risked their lives in service to democracy, to our country, to freedom, etc. And it just sort of seemed to us that of all the obvious pieces to do, the Britain War Requiem, Benjamin Britten's War Requiem, was the piece to do. So just not to monopolize, but just to encapsulize as quickly as possible. Benjamin Britten wrote this piece in 1962. It was for the premiere. It was for the rededication of the cathedral in Coventry, England, which had been destroyed by bombing in World War II. And Britten, who was a pacifist, an avowed pacifist, had this brilliant idea of taking the traditional Catholic Requiem Mass, which the big chorus sings with Emily, and interstitching this, as I said, with these unbelievably powerful war poems by the World War I celebrated war poet Wilfred Owen, who tragically died 1 week before Armistice, I believe last Sunday, 100 years ago, in the fighting. And yet he sent these poems home that were just searingly powerful, beautiful, overwhelming about the real experience of war. And so Britten wove the two things together and created this absolutely singular and unique piece, which honors, I think, the terrible sacrifice of war, but which really is a prayer for peace.
So let me ask you, Emily, have you done this before?
I have done the piece before, yes.
Okay. So what is it like?
As David mentioned, it's so many moving parts, but every different ensemble has a character to play. So it really comes together as a drama. The two instrumental ensembles, the orchestra, the chamber orchestra, the soloists, and the chorus all have, and the boys' chorus all have their parts to play. And I think one can look at this massive undertaking and sort of say, well, how is this all going to come together? But it comes together beautifully because Britten is such a master of setting the text and his juxtapositioning of the traditional Latin Mass Requiem texts with these carefully chosen words from the trenches are just so, it really comes together in the spirit of peace and honoring the sacrifice. Comes together.
Yeah, it comes together.
And honestly, better come together.
Yeah, honestly, it'll come together.
It comes together, and it's really, I left with it can be overwhelming emotionally, you know, because of everything we're commemorating and just the sheer emotional magnitude and response of that many people raising their voices together and instruments, so.
Give us an idea. You grew up outside of Schenectady?
Mm-hmm. In Duanesburg, New York.
In Duanesburg, New York.
Yeah.
And then where did you go to school?
I went to Schenectady County Community College, actually, for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to the Juilliard School.
Wow.
Did my bachelor's and my master's there.
And so have you ever played with any of the regional groups?
Regional group in upstate New York?
Yeah.
Worked with Musicians of Malwick.
She did.
And I've been to Tanglewood, Chautauqua,
Yeah, that's very cool. All right.
And Emily, if I can just add, Emily was also in that very elite Lindemann Young Artist Program after mm-hmm. Juilliard, or while you were
there,
Metropolitan Opera runs for the greatest young singers. So she's performed at the Met, and as a result of that has really, you know, went off to Europe and mm-hmm. established a career there, but we're delighted has come home for a little bit to
thank you
to
for
sing
having
us.
Me. I'm so excited to finally be performing with the Albany Symphony.
Be home. That's great. So let's talk about Musicians of Malwick and your role in all of this, Anne-Marie. It's fascinating, so it must be nice to have an alum.
Oh, absolutely. I'm delighted that Emily is here to sing it. She will not disappoint. She's an amazing soprano. And our role is we have a concert in the afternoon leading up to the Albany Symphony's performance, which will be at our concert is at 2:30 in the Schenectady Stockade at the First Reformed Church. And it's a program that features both a new film score to a 1918 silent film titled Under Four Flags, which was a government-issue World War I documentary on the end of the war. We didn't know that we were going to win yet. And so it was filmed on the front lines in France and Belgium from about July to October 1918. And then, of course, we won the war, so they had to go back in and refilm the end of it. But a young composer named Max Kaplan, who wrote an opera for me last spring, has written the new score, and he's very talented, and he's done a wonderful job with it. And is paired with a piano quintet of Samuel Gardner, who was a violinist at the Juilliard School for a very long time. And Samuel was a concert artist in the first decades of the 1900s. He was familiar with a violinist named David Hochstein, who was Emma Goldman's nephew. And Hochstein enlisted in the war. He asked to be put on the front lines. He was fluent in French, and he rose up very quickly in the ranks as captain. He was killed in October 1918. They never found his body. The family wasn't notified until the next year. When they were notified, Gardner found out. He was devastated by the death, and he wrote this just amazing piano quintet that's not only a memorial to Hochstein, it's also a musical depiction of his life. And it's incredible, and it is devastating. It's very sad. We're pairing it with readings from Hochstein to his mother, explaining why he feels compelled to serve, and also some other material from the period from other soldiers and some of the New York Times articles that came out at the time.
And we're so happy that Anne-Marie has graciously agreed to join us and help us with this whole sort of celebration of the armistice or commemoration of the armistice. You know, she and Musicians of Malwick and Proctors, who will be showing films through the weekend related to World War One, we've all banded together to kind of give this multi-tiered presentation around the armistice.
So that is, I love to hear when you kids all get together well and,
play in the sandbox.
Play well in the sandbox and do something for that's really important of commemorating the centennial of armistice.
Right. Well, it's funny how the World War II, I hope, is still very much in people's consciousness. Although I know there's been a lot of writing about how even now young people don't know that much about World War II, but World War I has really faded from consciousness in a lot of people because it's 100 years ago. But the stories of it and the great tragedy of the war, when as soon as you hear one of these Wilfred Owen poems, or when you hear Anne Marie's story about this young violinist lost in the last month of war, the stories are heart-wrenching, and it's really important and essential for us to remember our past. So we feel it's a really important commemoration.
What have these, when it comes to these events, and what has it been like putting all this together and playing your part, but then also seeing everything else come together?
I've found it a fascinating journey because you're constantly being exposed to other ideas about the war and other materials. And so you're not only your knowledge base, but your sense of understanding of the war just keeps increasing. And you realize just how many tentacles of it are everywhere.
When it comes to the actual, so let's talk about the mechanics of getting all those orchestras together and putting it on at Proctor's and taking over the joint. It's quite a thing.
Well, it is a logistical challenge, and of course, a great financial commitment on our organization's part and all our organization's parts, and we're very proud to do it. But the best thing that people could do to help is to show up and take the journey with us. I mean, this is a really one-of-a-kind piece of music, and whatever your orientation to war, it doesn't matter. Benjamin Britten was an avowed pacifist his whole life. If you're an anti-war person, this piece will speak to you. If you're a veteran, if you have suffered because of family perishing or being injured or fighting in war, this piece will touch you. It really, I think that's the reason it is still considered the great 20th century requiem, because it doesn't speak to one perspective. It's really just about the importance of peace and the brutality and tragedy and challenge of war, but it doesn't really take a particular political position.
Mm-hmm. What kind of endurance test is this for you as a conductor?
Well, the endurance test actually is today, because I started rehearsing at 10 this morning and I'll finish at 10 tonight, and this is my break. So from 12 to 10 p.m. because it has the two orchestras, we've jiggered it so that I work with the chamber orchestra for the first hour and a half, then we flip over and I work with the two orchestras together, and then I work with the big orchestra. So I won't actually have a break until 10 p.m. So this is the endurance challenge, but the Saturday will be a piece of cake because I only have the concert to do. It's about 85 minutes, and it's really, I've worked with ProMusica. They're sounding magnificent. Emily and her two co-soloists are absolutely world-class, and we have the wonderful boys chorus of the Cathedral of All Saints who are joining us, Woody Bynum's group, and they sound beautiful. So it's a great community celebration, and I hope everybody will come on out and join us for it.
Is it a taxing piece for you, Emily?
I think my character is sort of the angel of justice. She talks about the book, Liber Scriptus. She's the, she's sort of, I don't want to say the narrator in a way, but she, for me, it's not terribly long. It's a lot of big singing when I do sing. Mm-hmm. But for me, I just wanted to sort of piggyback on we were talking about the centenary, the 100 years. I mean, in just the consciousness of in history, 100 years just isn't that long to believe that it's 1918. My grandfather was born in 1918.
My grandfather fought in the First World War.
Right. So my grandfather was in the Second World War, and I have some veterans in my family. So this, as you said, David, this speaks to a variety of different perspectives. And for me, when I first encountered this piece, it can be difficult. I don't have any experience of living in a war zone or anything like that. But when you go to the source material and you really research all the aspects, you said tentacles of the historical implications and the political socio sort of climate of the time, and the human voices, the human face of that war came alive to me when I when I heard Wilfred Owen's poems. And I just, it you know, that sort of the idea that a generation was literally almost wiped out. Right. You know, there's that, and the way that Britten answers the biblical passages in the poems that he picks are sort of question and answers. And it's just, you really have to experience it to believe it. So.
And you have to experience Emily's voice to believe that as well. It's really quite a monumentally magnificent voice.
Thank you.
So it all begins, so Saturday, a lot going on. Musicians of Malwick to A Soldier, A Great Life Lost at 2:30 at the First Reformed Church in Schenectady. Then the Albany Symphony Orchestra, Benjamin Britten's War Requiem at 7:30 at Proctor's. We have links to all these events on our website, wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. David Allen Miller, Emily Savoy, and Anne-Marie Barker-Schwartz, thank you so much for being with us. Have a beautiful, glorious weekend, and thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
You too.
Great pleasure. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.